The Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, today I come to lead worship here for the first time. I have been here before, at least twice, to worship with you on a Sunday morning. I was here a few years back on a Sunday afternoon when a young man, I think his name was Nick, was ordained into the ministry. What a celebration that was. And over the years, I've been here since I've lived in the area many times for meetings out here in your wonderful welcome area out here. Now, the one thing in common to all these times that I have been here, and with you being here so many more times, is that Jesus has been here. Jesus has been here speaking words of love and forgiveness and challenge through the Scriptures. He's been giving himself to us as faith, as food for faithful living in the bread and wine, his body and blood. He's been present here in the fellowship and in the serving in and through this congregation. And so as I stand before you this morning, I could say, and I think we can say honestly, that our life journeys have intersected over this past decade, and the common denominator of that connection has been Jesus. And so today is the next check-in on our journey together with Jesus. It's interesting that in Mark's gospel, it seems that Jesus is constantly on the move. Last couple Sundays in the Gospels, he's been up north to the region of Tyre and to Caesarea Philippi. That's in the north area of that whole area on the east side of the Mediterranean. And today he's come south. He's back in Galilee again. He's around the Sea of Galilee. But it's interesting that Mark tells us he's trying to keep a low profile. Mark tells us he did not want anyone to know it, meaning that where he was, for he was teaching his disciples. And what he was teaching was this: the Son of Man is to be betrayed. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again. We know from our perspective that that's important, essential information. But Mark tells us that just like the first time that Jesus told this to his disciples, the disciples did not understand. And they were afraid to ask him for clarification. And later they're in a house in Capernaum, and here Jesus sits down, and Mark tells us he calls the disciples to him so that he can have an essential conversation with them. Yes, there are times when disciples, and we're disciples too, We need to stop what we're doing and in all our busyness, what else we're focused on, and pay attention to what Jesus is trying to say to us. No, sometimes it's clear that we need to pay attention. You know, sometimes it's kind of getting right alongside the head. You have no choice but to pay attention to what's going on. But sometimes it's things that are happening around us that get our attention. You know, I like that commercial that I've been seeing on TV recently about the man who says he's not really concerned about his high blood sugar, but then he holds his newborn granddaughter in his arms. And he realizes that it might be wise to pay closer attention to his health, to his blood sugar, so that he can enjoy the promises of the future with this little child. It's a precious gift. Now, St. John, this congregation, it seems to me, is in a time when it's important to pay attention. As we've mentioned briefly before, I'm here with you today because last Sunday you said goodbye to Pastor Martin. And you will, as Paul outlined, at some time in the future, call and welcome a new pastor to lead you and to serve you here. And in the weeks and months to come, you will, with the guidance from the Synod staff, look closely at where you've been, where you are now, where you would like to go in your journey as a congregation into the future. And in this process, you will be invited to pray together, to talk together, to listen together, to remember where you've been, reflect on where you are now, to wrestle together with the challenges you face, and to do some dreaming about the challenges the future holds for you as a congregation. And always in this, being intentional about listening to the voice of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as he speaks through all this that goes on, you know, you'll hear it in what you say and share in your conversations. Listen to your community, this community of the church and the community in which you live. Listen to the world and its hurts and its needs and its reaching out for the good news that Jesus brings. So specifically, what about our gospel reading this morning? What might Jesus want to say to us today? Is it just coincidence that this is the assigned gospel for today, and it's about the disciples in the first part of the gospel keeping their distance from Jesus as they walked? Why? Because they want to keep their conversation just among themselves. But Jesus knows. They've been, as they admit later, or as Mark tells us, they've been arguing amongst themselves. About what? About who is the greatest. Now, for those in my generation, when I hear talk about who's the greatest, I remember a boxer. You know his name? Muhammad Ali. And what did he say? I am the greatest. You know, in our present time, we hear in politics, we hear in the world of sports, you know, just about everywhere there's talk about being great and about making things great again. And I'm sure as you look to calling a pastor, there will be memories shared by individuals. As you remember back about, in your opinion, which pastor was greatest? Or which years in the life of this congregation? From individual viewpoints, some expressions of what was the greatest. And with those memories, there's always a tug to try to repeat those remembered times. Now back to the gospel reading. Could it be that after Jesus talks about his dying, the disciples are confused and silent because they just cannot comprehend about what his dying means not only for Jesus, but also for them? So their conversation, rather than talking about his dying, they talk about something that they know. One-upmanship. Who or what, who is the greatest in their case? Because if Jesus, in whom they have put their hope, is not going to rise up to a position of power and privilege in a worldly sense, because if he rose up and became an earthly ruler of some kind, there was confusion about what it meant for him to be the Messiah. If he was going to do, because they had kind of envisioned at least partially, if he did that, then they too would have positions. You know, at other points in the gospel, they argue who's going to be on which side when he sits in his power and all this stuff. So they're concerned about their future. And so rather than talk about that and their worries, they just choose to talk about worldly power and control and domination, about being in charge, about not having to answer to others, about being able to choose what's best for them rather than being concerned about others. That's what questions of greatness are about. But that's based on their past experience, assuming that what they know from the past will continue into the future. And so when Jesus confronts them, when he sits them down and talks to them, his response to their argument about greatness rewrites the rules. He says, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. The future for those disciples, and for disciples today too, the future is not a continuation of the past with doing the same things again, but it's a new way to live. Jesus defines it as one in which serving others is the top priority, in which being vulnerable is a mark of greatness, in which truthfulness and faithfulness indicate greatness. No, the disciples could not relive the past, nor could they plan for the future, assuming the past would repeat itself. No, neither can the church or individual congregations no matter how great their memories of that past may be. Live in a world in which, for younger generations especially, church is not a priority. Right after Easter, I was asked, the congregation that I had served back in the 70s, Beautiful Savior Order in Broomfield Hills, it's on Adams Road. I was there for 10 years, and I was asked to go back. Their pastor had left, and I was asked if I could fill in for a couple Sundays. And, of course, at the time of memories, when I was there in the 70s, our confirmation classes had 30 or more kids in each grade. I looked at the confirmation wall where the pictures are now, 4, 5, and 6. It's a big class. No, I don't have to list for you what's happening. You know, your experience that you know it in the church, in the community, it's not the same as it was. And so we're called by Jesus to be the church in this new normal. What is the situation today and going into the future? That is what's important. You know, people's attitudes and expectations are not what you and I grew up with. But we're also going to the future confident that God's love and compassion for you and your neighbor, that has not changed. Never will. Now, Jesus takes a child, and he places a child in the midst of the disciples. Now, I see in that a very powerful reminder that vulnerability and powerlessness, needing to learn from others, and enjoyment of being human, expecting others to be human too, the things that seem natural for children, These are marks of greatness. And that accepting and celebrating these childlike qualities in ourselves and in others opens us to God's presence among us and helps us to see the present and future through God, not just our own. He started out with a picture up here of Jesus with a child on his lap. There's a number of stories in the Gospels about Jesus drawing a child to him. And when I envision Jesus in that interaction with the disciples and a child, I think I've always liked to see myself as that child. And Jesus is holding me tenderly, accepting me, loving me as I am. You know, when I was a child, I was that tall, gangly kid who was always picked last when they were choosing softball teams. The nerdy kid who would rather be reading a book than out doing some of the other things that the kids were doing. But I always envisioned Jesus loving me as I am. I did not have to be like those other kids because Jesus loved me as I was. And I pray that you can see yourself in that child too. Because that basic relationship, Jesus loving and accepting each of us as we are. I think it's very obvious through the Gospels that Jesus accepted and loved the disciples even as they let the world at times blind them to the larger picture that he was trying to show them of his love for them and for the world. You know, even in the Holy Week Gospels, we read about he loved them to the end. You know, Jesus' love and forgiveness is always the foundation for our relationship with him, for his desire for his church, and for the future that Jesus has in mind for St. John's congregation. And so we are on a journey with Jesus. We're invited to go with him and with each other into a blessed future. A future for St. John that will be marked by faithfulness and loving service, that will be anchored and secure in the power of forgiveness and the new life and the new hope that brings. A journey that leads always to new possibilities for St. John and through St. John for your community and for the world. Amen.